Throughout all of history, they've only talked about the fame, never the hard work, never the elbow grease, never the early call time.
Hey, early call time.
Wow. I don't know why I said wow.
Can you believe it?
Nope.
It's almost New Year's.
That's crazy.
And it was just Christmas.
It felt like it was Christmas like 5 minutes ago.
It was.
Was it?
That's what it felt like.
Yeah. Well.
I mean, I think, to tell you the truth, I honestly don't know what Christmas feels like.
Oh, that's right.
I'm Jewish.
Yeah. I don't know what Hanukkah feels like.
Well, it's like I don't know what Christmas feels like, and I don't like how Hanukkah feels.
Oh. So you get the double, like.
Yeah, it's lose-lose.
Everything, yeah.
Yeah, it really sucks.
What a bummer.
But, you know, it's a special episode, this episode, Andrew.
This is a biggie.
Oh, yeah, this is Andrew, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Hey. Hey, guys.
And I'm Nadav. Hi.
JJ's in Indiana. India?
Yeah, I thought he went to India.
He went to India.
Yeah, to see his parents.
He went to Fort Wayne, India.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Where his parents live.
Yeah, it's where they're in the high school reunion. There was a mix-up with the invitations. There was a typo, but they're sticking to it.
He's at the high school reunion?
Don't those happen on, like, around Christmas? No.
Do they? I don't know.
Or maybe they have it in June?
Mine was in September. In America. No, look, which actually was unfortunate because I was living in Europe at the time.
Oh.
So, anyway.
That's a pretty cool story.
Speaking of horror stories.
Yeah, this is a big old horror story episode.
Yeah. It's a whopper.
Yeah, we have picked... I know. In the last episode we did five advice from people, but there's just these horror story segments are just so beefy,
right?
And multiple by nature or plural by nature that that they're
plural
just
by nature sounds like a really awesome like rap group,
like a hip hop cover,
yeah,
hip hop cover band of Naughty by Nature,
yeah, Naughties by Nature's.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind.
So this is the Horror Stories clip show. Happy
nice.
Holidays. Happy New Year.
Yeah. Happy Kwanzaa.
Oh, God.
No?
I just burped straight into the microphone. Well, not going to edit that out.
Well.
So sorry about that, guys. shouldn't have had that. Logs, potato, pancake,
no.
Eggs, Benedict.
No one would have known if you'd hadn't said anything.
Well,
most people would have known, probably.
Well, you know, it's the holidays. I'm just trying to be cheery.
Yeah. That's why you drove over here. Completely hammered.
Yeah, you know, because it's the holidays, and that's what you do on the holidays. So the first person that we're going to listen to is a DP who is a friend of mine that we had on, Patrick Lawler.
This was a great episode. I enjoyed recording this one a lot.
Andrew wasn't in the room for this one.
Oh.
But it's episode 35. Patrick has a whole bunch of really cool stories and fun stuff to talk about. So if you want to listen to more of his stuff, you could go back there.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I guess you could just listen to like three or four of his back-to-back horror stories right frickin' now. I think this might lead us to a segment of ours that we like to call... Oh, please play.
The volume up. It's, you're just turning up everything. Jesus Christ.
What the fuck?
Why aren't you sitting over there?
Because I'm trying to teach him how to learn to use a board.
Yeah, okay. Well, now no one heard that intro.
just put it in later, fix it in post.
Dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, you're crazy.
Well, you know, that actually fits really well.
Are you doing?
Yeah, it does.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
So what I just did was a perfect segue into this segment of fuck-up stories. So I just completely fucked that up.
Mm-hmm.
And then JJ fixed it. And that was a fuck-up story.
Yeah.
Patrick, do you have any fuck-up stories?
Yes, I do.
Oh, boy.
I have so many fuck-up stories.
That was actually a really big fuck-up.
Yeah. So, let's go back to GoPros for a bit.
Okay.
All right, so, the GoPro was not out yet.
All right.
The GoPro Hero, I guess, I think it was the Hero, yeah, it was the GoPro Hero It was the first GoPro that shot HD.
Okay.
Might have been a Hero 2. I don't remember. Whatever. Whatever the first one was that shot HD. They had a standard definition one that like did some surf stuff, but no, it didn't catch on really well.
All right.
So the new one comes out. It shoots HD. My other friend Patrick says, hey, I got these cameras. You should come check them out. So he brings some down to slow, and he gives me like four or five of them.
Okay.
Right? And all of them have since been destroyed. So... the first thing we did, I was like, oh my God, this is dope. This camera is so small. I'm going to put on some balloons. So I went to Albertsons.
That sounds awesome.
Right? So I went to Albertsons because like people were shooting extreme sports. They were like putting it on their bikes and they were jumping off of cliffs with it.
Okay.
And there was only like, you know, five videos that had been done because it wasn't out yet. And so I was like, dude, I'm going to start making some experimental films with this. So I went to Albertsons and I brought in the camera and I was like, check this out. And I was like, look at this video camera. They're like, that's a video camera? That's crazy. And like the dude in the balloon shop was like super stoked to be like working on this.
Okay.
We filled up enough balloons until it started lifting up. And then we got a bunch of fishing line, tied it to the camera and sent it off. And we sent it up in a park and we should have gotten a fishing pole. That would have been nice so we could like reel it back in, but we had to reel it in by hand.
Oh. And so, hey, at least you thought that far enough ahead.
Yeah. You know, and so we send it up and it goes up really high and I'm like, wow, that footage must be amazing. And then we like start trying to pull it back in. But the thing is that the wind is blowing. So when the line was taut, the balloons would start actually lowering in the sky because they would be getting pushed by the wind. And so it would go further horizontally,
like lower but farther. Okay.
Yeah, as opposed to just straight up.
Okay.
So all of a sudden we're like pulling it back in, and by the time it's like halfway back, it's like almost horizontal to the ground and like almost about to like get stuck in these power lines and stuff like that. And we're like pulling it back, and I'm like freaking out because like this camera's worth like $300 or something, and I'm like, it's my first time shooting with it and I really want to get the footage back.
Okay. Right?
Like that's the important thing, is to get the footage back. You know, and so we're reeling it in, and finally we make it back. You know, it comes back, and it doesn't get stuck in any trees or anything. We're like, oh, excellent. And we look at the footage, and it's way too shaky. So we go back out, and we get more string, and I realize that that it could be, you know, I should go to a place where if we're pulling it back, it can be horizontal. So we go to the top of the tallest building in San Luis Obispo, and we send it out over the city. And we shoot the sunset, and it's just gorgeous.
Oh, that's really cool.
Right? It's just beautiful. And we reel it back in, and I should have taken the card out and switched it with a different card. But we pulled it back in and faced it face down and then sent it back out again. And we let it go a little bit further this time. And so now it's really far out over the city. It's literally like a mile and a half out over the city. Right? Like, like it's at the other end of the city. And we can see these just like little balloons off in the distance. And I'm like, this footage must be amazing. Right? And as we're reeling it back, it's getting harder and harder and the wind's blowing and the string is getting really tight. And we're like, you know, reeling it. And we could see this just like fishing line going straight across the whole city. And then all of a sudden, the balloons just go like... And all of a sudden, I realize that our string has broke. And the balloons are just like... And everyone's like, oh, shit. And I was like, fuck. And we realized that the string that we had gotten was like half the gauge of the string that we had the previous day.
Oh, no.
And Jesus. And so immediately people get in their cars and I'm staying up on the roof and I'm like trying to keep my eye on the balloons and like I'm sending people out towards Pismo Beach and I'm like, just start driving out towards the beach, guys. And like some people get like across town and they're like, we don't see it anymore. We can't see it. I'm like, I can't see it either. And it was just like the last person that saw it like heading out over the ocean. And oh, it just like went out into the Pacific somewhere and killed some turtles. And or something, Jesus. You know, like and the balloons just popped, and it's gonna be gone forever.
That's a nice story.
That's a sad story, though. Oh, too. Yeah.
Well, that is one of the eight GoPros that I've like destroyed in my life. I lost another one in the surf by attaching it to a skimboard with a sticky mount, and then the second the guy threw the skimboard down, it just went whoop and it just popped off, and I was like, God damn it! And then we're like digging around in the surf for like 2 hours trying to find it, and the waves are just hitting us, and we can't just feeling around on the ground of the ocean.
It's just like burying it into the sand.
Oh God, yeah. Another one, let's see, we destroyed by attaching it to a car, and the car turned the corner too hard and just broke the thing off. Another one, I dropped it off a cliff for durability testing. I mean, I had like five of them, so I was like,
you had what we like to call "fuck you, GoPros."
Yeah, fuck you, GoPros. Yeah. Oh God, I mean, I've destroyed thousands of dollars of GoPros. So
you and GoPros don't go well together.
Oh no, we do. They get the most amazing, beautiful images, and they're great because they're not that big of a financial impact if you destroy
true,
them. You know,
true.
It's not like a 7D where, like, if you crash your 7D, you're out $1,500 or something. Yeah. You know. Yeah. Right. Like, these cameras are $200 or even less sometimes. Like, you can get one for like $90 now.
That's amazing.
You know? Yeah, they're great for everything. And so I'm super behind GoPros. I like, and now that there are drones, you don't have to like use balloons and shit anymore. So my roommate has
no
a drone.
More fishing line.
My roommate has a drone and it's super fun.
Yeah.
And he'll, you know, like he has these POV goggles.
Wait, hold on that thought, because Brian just texted me that he's out front.
Okay. We can pause.
Yeah, let's pause.
Okay.
Bring him up.
Recording live. And we're back.
So someone, me, had to let Brian in because he was going to come and do another in-depth episode after this.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
But, you know, while he's here, we figured, you know, Patrick, we're in the fun stuff now. So Patrick's going to go through a couple more fuck-up stories. And then we're going to do a game that Brian's going to participate in.
Let's do it.
So, yeah. But before that, Brian, just continue to shut the fuck up over there. And then Patrick, the floor is yours.
Yeah. Turn down the main.
Yeah.
All right. So, Patrick, why don't you go ahead and go through a couple more fuck up stories.
Cool. Fuck up stories.
Horror stories.
Yeah.
Horror
so stories. So one of the things to remember about film production is that everybody fucks up. So this one is a show that I was doing where I was the cinematographer for. We got hired by the BBC.
Okay.
And I mean, some of these stories, it's like, should I tell these stories? I don't know if I'll get in trouble. But the thing is that, like, after this, I'm never getting hired by BBC America again. So, you know, fuck it. Let's tell the story. It's a good story. So,
I love you, Pat.
So, some people like you, some people just really don't. So basically, I got hired with my friend to film for the BBC, and we were filming Comic-Con.
Okay.
And my job was to be Matt Smith's personal video guy. So he's Doctor Who.
Okay.
Right? And I had never seen Doctor Who before. So it was really fun for me because, like,
you're like, big fucking deal.
So I'm like, well, I mean, dude. Well, that's one of the things about me in general of my life is that, like, I've been working with a bunch of people and usually, like, I don't know who they are. And it's pretty funny. So a lot of times I'm like, hi, what's your name? It's like,
yo, I'm 2 Chainz.
It's like, who? Hi. Sorry.
That's what you look like.
Yeah. Oh, hi. Yeah. Okay, great. Cool. Nice to meet you, Mr. 2 Chainz. Good to meet you. Yes. All right.
Mr. Chainz,
Mr. Chainz.
He's actually pretty smart.
Yeah,
did
he's
you see
a cool
him debate
dude.
Nancy Drew?
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
No, Nancy Grace.
Nancy Grace. I liked it. Yeah.
Yeah. He made some really good points.
Yeah. But it's always fun for me to meet people I know nothing about, right? So Matt Smith turns to me at one point. He's like, oh, have you seen the show? And I'm like, nah. And he's like, oh, brilliant. It's great. So we're shooting all this stuff, and we're down at Comic-Con, and we're getting a bunch of gold. You know, it's awesome. Like, we're getting chased through the streets by fans, and we're like, you know, like following him to all these different parties and stuff. And so then it's come time now to interview all of the cast members who are at this, like, thing at the Beverly Hilton now, right? So Comic-Con's over. That all went well. And so the thing is that BBC, this is where the problem arose, is they have these ridiculous quality standards for their media.
Okay. Right?
So it was still at a time when, like, tape-based recording was still kind of a thing, right? Mm-hmm. So filming on DV tape. They wanted their footage in 60i at 1080.
Okay.
And they wanted it on DV tape or they wanted it in this specific format.
Okay.
But the problem was, I was like, dude, you guys, there are no cameras anymore that shoot in this format.
Like don't you guys have assistant editors?
I can't get a camera that shoots in 60i anymore. You know, like, cause like 7Ds, 5Ds, all of these, and, you know, all of these things are solid state recording now. I can't get anything that shoots in 60i unless I spend a bunch of money on like an older Verri camera or something. So I ended up having to rent Rich's old XHA1, which is like an old, it's an old Canon camera, right? It's basically like the Canon version of the HVX.
Okay.
And it's like, you know, it's like 4 years old at this point, 5 years old. And it got outdated super quick because the 7D just came in and dominated everything.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, you know, I'm like trying. Oh, I just broke the couch. Okay. So we're shooting these interviews, and the first day is going fine, and we do all these interviews and stuff like that. And then the second day, we're rolling, and or we show up to this hotel that we've rented out, and we have like one of the main actresses from Doctor Who showing up, and then we have Matt showing up, and then we have like someone else who's really important in the show showing up, and then we have like three other people who are the most popular main actors of their BBC of their representative BBC shows that they're in.
Okay.
Also that we're going to interview. And so I keep telling BBC America that we should rent a camera that shoots like, you know, long form doc stuff that's better than shooting on these old XHA1s.
Okay.
And they refuse because these are the standards that are, you know, imposed, you know, like TV broadcast is interlaced. So we have to shoot interlaced. And I'm like, you can just make progressive interlaced, you know. I know all of you guys have these problems all the time. And so we're using this old ass camera and basically the camera breaks. So we get there in the morning and the camera won't record. Like we put the tape in and it just goes like, error. And we're like, what the fuck is the problem? And I open up the side and a piece falls out. And I'm like, oh my God. Fortunately, I had my 7D with me. So I bring it out. So I'm like, okay, like we'll just shoot it on my 7D. And the guy's like, it's going to look different. I'm like, but at least it will look like a video as opposed to black, which is what we're recording right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, worst case scenario. And I remember turning to this guy. I was like, worst case scenario, it will look better. Right? And so we started shooting with the 7D, but the problem is that my 7D kind of stuck and it started overheating because my cards couldn't ride fast enough or something. Oh,
okay.
So every 5 minutes I'd have to stop and like let the camera cool down. So I was like, this is not the ideal way to be doing this. And we had to send some guy sprinting like down through the lobby into his car, and he's driving to Sammy's to go like rent a replacement camera. And like the guy from the BBC was so mad. He was looking at me and he like had all these blood vessels popping out of his head. And he was like, never in my history of working at the BBC America have I ever seen a fuck up this big. And like my friend is like in tears, you know, and he was just the sound guy, you know, like he had done nothing wrong. And I was just like, losing my shit. And I was just like, well, I mean, like worst case scenario is I never get hired by the BBC America again.
Was this guy British?
No. This is a BBC America, so they're all like BBC angry America. New Yorkers.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So this guy is like livid, and then I have to go home and I have to sync all the 7D footage and mail it off to them, and like their internal guy over there just like said that like my footage was absolutely unable. Like he couldn't bring it into Avid or something, and like he just didn't know, or he didn't know how to sync audio with like a slate or some shit. And he was the editor, and like there's just so many like stupid problems that if they had just like listened to me at the beginning, it would have worked out fine. But they like just had so many of these like weird quality standards that they needed to meet for their post department because their post department didn't understand how to use like modern HD footage or something.
Very strange.
Yeah, it was just like, and that's the problem with major corporations is a lot of times like they get so wrapped up in red tape that like sometimes just trust the dudes you've hired, you know, like it's
hard for people, especially with trust issues in this great nation of America.
Yeah.
Bumper sticker.
Yeah,
it's a long bumper sticker, but yeah.
So I have a
do
couple
good,
more
do trust unto, issues in America.
Do good unto others and others do good unto you.
Yeah,
the golden rule.
Yeah. So this story is pretty good. I was shooting a music video for a band called Monster Eats the Pilot, and we went out to California Valley, which is like this empty place in the middle of California where there are abandoned houses because a bunch of people were sold land by this company that they had all of this land that they had taken from the Bureau of Land Management or something. They had bought it.
Okay.
And they were reselling portions of it to build like the new Bakersfield back in like the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And this place was going to be like super dope. So all these people buy all this land and they're like, oh, we're going to get the best land. And they all bought this land and some people moved out there and started building houses. oh my God, there's no water. So it's just like, so it's just abandoned. And there's all these roads that have been made with like street signs and stuff. And like all these like dirt roads that have been like carved into the ground.
That would be super fun to film in.
I think Mythbusters does stuff out there, I believe.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
It's a good, it's a good place to do stuff.
Yeah.
There's nothing out there except for like abandoned geodesic homes from the
70s. Can you just show up and like drive on, or is there some sort of governing authority?
No, no, no. There's
Do you need a pass to get on the lot?
There was like an airport, and the airport shut down, and then the rest of it is just a bunch of fields with like abandoned houses out there. So like that's what the music video is about. It's basically them like walking around and going into these old abandoned houses and stuff that are just completely tore up. And so there's a salt flat over there. And my dad told me like, oh, just make sure that you don't like pass this one sign, or you'll see this area, and that becomes like a national park. Or something, or like a, like some kind of protected wildlife area. And we weren't paying attention. We went, we
sounds like an important plot point.
Yeah. So, yes. So we drive our trucks out onto this salt bed, and we set up the band on the salt flat. And we once again have one of these like towing generator construction lights.
Okay.
So we drive that thing out, and we set it up, and we like crank it up, and we're shooting the band at night. And it's super awesome. It's like them playing out in the middle. It looks like they're on the moon.
So, okay.
And then, like, we go home and we leave the light out in the middle of the salt flat because we didn't want to tow it back out. We're like, we're just going to come back for sunrise. So let's just leave it. No one's going to steal it.
Because it completely like, rusted over the night.
Well, no. We just left it there, and so we went. We like slept, and apparently, like, we actually knew someone who happened to live out there. So we went and stayed at their house, and then we woke up at like 5.
The one guy that actually was like, I don't need water.
I don't need water. So then we drive back out, and, you know, of course. So the sun is about to rise over the mountains that we're shooting straight into, right? So the band is in between me and the sunset, or the sunrise.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this big light cranked up, so it's filling them from the front with light. So that the sunset or the, so that the sunrise isn't too overpowering, right? So the sun is just about to rise and it looks super beautiful. And like we're about to start recording. Oh, and we're drinking beer and lighting fireworks. And this is a very, this is a very
otherwise quiet neighborhood.
It's a very empty place, but it's also very flammable.
Oh, God. Is salt flammable?
Well, no. There's like brush and stuff everywhere, right? Okay. Yeah. So we were near the edge of the salt flat, which is low grass.
All right.
Yeah. And so we're doing stupid stuff. We're trying to incorporate the fireworks into the video, but it's not working. And I feel like the fire hazard's too big to, like, you know, really keep fucking with the fireworks.
Okay.
So, so we're just kind of hanging out, and we're about to start shooting. And, like, we have a kid who's with us, who's my assistant, who's not 21, and he's drinking a beer. And all of a sudden, we see this, like, park ranger show up, and he's like storming down towards us, and he's like got the fire of God in him.
Oh, Jesus.
And he comes down and he's like,
I'm getting nervous.
And I start walking over to him because I'm usually the one who takes responsibility, just because like I'm not really, I have a pretty big problem with authority. So I kind of enjoy confrontations with law officers and stuff. And the other thing is that like, I'm just confident and I'm usually the one who's in charge. Or at least the one who's willing to.
Have you been put in jail before, Patrick?
No, I've never been in trouble ever in my whole life.
It's surprising that you have that view on it, and you have not been put in jail.
So it's like, I never am rude to police officers. I'm usually always very level-headed and just want to, like, talk stuff out. And, you know, usually I just come from, like, a perspective of, like, oh, just calm down.
Just keeping them
like, oh God,
you're just,
do you tell them to calm down?
No, I never tell them that, but I'm always just like, oh yeah, sure. No, for sure. Officer. Yeah. Because like some people like to give attitude. I don't like to give attitude, but I mean like it's just fun to like, I don't know. Confrontation is interesting.
All right. So, yeah, so how did you handle
that? I'm an instigator kind of guy. Anyway, so I go up to this dude and I'm like, oh, hi, how's it going? I'm Patrick. And I usually like to pretend like I've done nothing wrong.
Okay.
Right. So I walk up, I'm like, oh, hey, how's it going? And he was like, what the fuck do you think you're doing? And he tells me that this is a protected wildlife area.
Oh God.
And we've just driven like all over it. Right. And
so there's like past that line.
We passed the line. And so like,
you guys have been lighting up fireworks.
We've been like doing all this stupid shit. And he's getting like so pissed. And he's like, And he's just like getting so mad. He's just like,
they're gonna have my ass back at the
headquarters. Like, this is a felony. Like, this is gonna be on your permanent record. Like, you're gonna get fined. You're gonna have to, like, this is going all the way up to the conservationists and even to Lois Capps. And once he said that, I was just like, Lois Capps doesn't give a fuck about me. And this guy's like, and I realized he's just trying to scare me, you know. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry, officer. Like, I had no idea.
I didn't know what I did was wrong.
I didn't know. And he's like freaking me out.
Do that.
And he's like, and then we missed our shot because of it. But the rest of the video looks dope because we got all the nighttime stuff, you know. But it was just so funny because, like, he was telling us that we had, like, killed all these animals and stuff. And I was looking, I was like, it looks kind of just like an empty place full of grass. I'm like, this guy's just trying to scare me. And he's like, where are you from? And I was like, I was just from Los Angeles. You know, I was just told that this place you could do anything you wanted out here. And then he starts going off on this whole thing about, like, environmental conservation and, like, how this whole place is being turned into a solar farm. And how he hates that because it's going to kill all the animals and stuff. And I realized that he's just, like, very gung-ho, like Smokey the Bear, and just, like, okay, got mad that we were driving on his thing. And nothing ever happened. Nothing whatsoever. Well, I, like, gave him all my information, and I expected to get, like, a $2,000 fine in the mail from the state of California. And, like, nothing happened.
Nice.
That could have been way worse.
Yeah, it could have been way worse. Yeah, but, I mean, like, I don't know. Driving a bunch of trucks onto, like, a protected wildlife area and, like, you know, destroying a bunch of property and drinking beer and shooting off fireworks usually would, like, cause a problem.
You would think so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Boy, Patrick sure did have a whole shit ton of horror stories.
He sure did.
He demolished quite a few GoPros. Good for him. That's not too hard to do. Or maybe it is hard to do.
I don't know. I dropped one out of a tree once and it was fine. So
yeah, and the only GoPros I've had are no pros, which my friend Billy has brought from China because that's where he lives.
They call them no pros?
That's what he calls them. They're $40.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, let's get some of those.
Well, yeah, he's coming in February. I asked for 4 more.
Okay.
So yeah, maybe we'll turn to a video podcast soon.
All right, you're on board.
So yeah, that was Patrick Lawler. Super fun episode.
Right on.
Do you know who we have next?
I don't know, but I think that she drew a lot of traffic to our site.
Oh shit. That was really good. That was traffic analyst Stephanie Simmons, episode 29.
Yeah, CBS LA.
Yeah, traffic correspondent. Well, what's her official title? Do you remember?
Reporter?
Yeah. She's like a news person.
She does the traffic, but she also does, like, actual, like, stories.
Yeah. And holy crap, like, her type of horror stories are probably my favorite kinds.
Yeah.
Because they're the kinds that happen live, where they're unavoidable, and it's like, as soon as something bad starts happening, it's like, well, we need to do this anyway still, so just keep on going.
Yeah, good luck.
Mm-hmm. Like, the show must go on really, really speaks the loudest, I think, in these stories.
Yeah. I'm a fan.
Mm-hmm. These are some of my favorite. And with that, I mean, enjoy Stephanie's amazing stories. Mm.
Okay, well, what I was going to say there is, you know, I wasn't very coiffed as a reporter when I was there at RTV6. Okay. And my first job as the feature side of things was to interview Goofy. Goofy. They had some sort of magic show at the Mirage. Remember the Mirage, AJ? And so I go out there live, and I have no idea what I'm doing. I have no idea. So again, you know, doing a little tap dance. And I ask Goofy a question, and he just stands there, because he's not allowed to talk. And I was like, what do I get out of this? What the hell? And I'm asking Goofy.
Could he make sounds at least?
No, he was like, and I was like, what am I? So I answered my own question, and I'm like, how do I get out of this? Somebody wrap me, please. Yes.
You're like, how you feeling, Goofy? Yeah. Like, you look good? You feeling good?
Well said. You know, so I've screwed up more times than I've probably done well, but somehow I've managed to bounce back every time.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
How long did that – was that like a 10-second interview where as soon as you realize it's like, well, back to you in the studio? Or is it just no, you got to kill like another 2.5 minutes?
Oh, I killed 2.5 minutes. I did a magic trick. I was like, oh, off camera, Goofy showed me this. Rabbit out of my hat, you know, like, golly. You just, and you just talk. But you know what? That's not as bad. And then you, when you make mistakes, you notice other people's mistakes too, or you're like, oh, I've been in that position.
Right.
So do you know Samantha Harris from Dancing with the Stars? She used to be, okay, she was like one of the original hosts, Dancing with the Stars. The reason why I bring this up, I worked with her at E! And I was watching her on Dancing with the Stars one day. And Marley Matlin, who's deaf. Mm-hmm. So Samantha Harris live asked Marley Matlin a question. And I was like, don't do the mic, it's goofy. And like I was having flashbacks. Because Marley Matlin doesn't talk. And I was like, that was worse than mine. Yeah. That was a lot. But then I felt goofy. Bad. I was like, oh God, it's the goofy moment. It's coming back.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So other people have done it. But yeah. People. So there's that.
You okay?
You killed Nadav.
Yeah, that was. Mm-hmm. Those are. That's you thought that wasn't going to be good.
Oh, great. I've got more. You want some? You want more horror stories?
Okay, more horror stories.
This is so people will learn from your mistakes or other people's mistakes. Okay, so bring it
so
on.
You want? Let's see. You want national or local?
The most epic one.
You know what? Let's start with national and then work.
Okay.
Local. Start local and work up to national.
Okay. So this is, and this will be good for reporters that or people that want to be reporters and or are currently reporters. Like, how do you make something out of nothing?
Oh, I'm so excited. Okay?
So, and this is important. This is comes with like a little bit of advice too, because oftentimes, you know, we get these attitudes where you're like, I'm too good for this story. I can't believe I got put on this. This is not an Emmy award-winning piece.
Right.
And a lot of time, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get those stories where it's like a glorified VO,
right?
You know,
right.
And you have to turn it into a package. And right. You're like, I can tell the story in one freaking sentence. How am I going to do this? So there's a little beauty in this next horror story. Okay. So I get this, you know, BS press release that's like, there's a local mole festival mm-hmm. in town. And I was like, okay, mole. Do you know what mole is? No. Mole? No, this is here. This is my current position.
Chocolate Mexican sauce.
Yeah, so it is. First of all, it's fabulous.
It's amazing.
But I didn't know how I was going to do a whole story on mole, okay?
Well, you don't know mole.
Yeah. So this is me being the feature reporter at CBS, and I have to do a story on mole.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, I'm going to have a positive attitude. I'm going to do something. And so, okay, so we go to this restaurant where they're setting up for the mole festival. And you know, we're all set up, and I just noticed there's like Univision's there and, you know, some other Spanish right. Telemundo and all these things. And I'm like, all right. So they get ready to start the press conference, and then it starts. It's all in Spanish.
Oh, no!
And I was like, how the hell? What the hell? And we have a phrase called pulling the plug out there in the field. And it's like, if this story, and I'm supposed to do a package on this. So if the story turns out to be a bust,
like
that's
a live
another terminology. No. There would be a live shot, and then there would be a package where you do the interviews.
Right.
Well, yeah. And then it's all, you know, you've written it, you've recorded, things like that. But really, you know, what we're not all Spanish. So I'm freaking out because if I don't want to pull the plug because they're relying on me to do a minute 30 package on mm-hmm. this.
A minute 30.
And I'm like, oh my God, what do I do? And then, just when we thought it couldn't get any worse, and me and my photographer are looking at each other like, what the fuck? What do we do? What are we going to do with this? What are they, luchadores, like Nacho Libre, the Mexican wrestlers, come out of nowhere and they start fighting each other. And I'm like,
there's our story.
What is this? And they're like, it was like in a civil war. Like me and JJ in the Northern. And there's mole and there's Spanish and there's Mexican wrestlers.
They're like throwing mole at each other?
Not throwing it, but they're fighting about mole. Like, whose sauce
is
better?
No, my mole.
And I'm just sitting there and like, oh, people are laughing because they understand what's going on. And I'm like, someone please translate me. Which, just side note, again, another piece of good advice is learn another language.
Yeah, we're working on it right now.
What are you learning?
I'm trying to learn Spanish.
Okay.
Oh, that's great. What do you guys know so far?
Not much.
Hola.
Yeah, hola.
¿Dónde está el cuarto de baño? That'll get you far, though.
That's true.
That'll alleviate pain.
I know how to say, I can prepare the coffee for you.
Let's hear it.
Preparado el café para...
Usted.
Yeah. There we go.
Oh,
quite a natural,
huh?
Yeah,
quite a natural.
Thank you. We're trying.
Flawless accent.
Yeah,
too,
so we can have Spanish guests,
and you guys could talk about mole.
Yeah,
you guys could have been the translators for stuff.
Yeah.
No.
What he said is, "Can you prepare the coffee for me?"
Oh, how nice of you, JJ.
No problem.
Here are the coffee ingredients. If you could prepare some coffee for me as my guest, that would be great.
Yeah.
Where were we?
What? Mole. Okay, so luchadori wrestlers.
And you had to do a one minute right. 30
How did the piece come out?
So I did it. I made it about the history of mole, and I started out, I'm like, oh, you want a package? I'm going to give you a fucking package. And I said, my first line of the package was, holy mole! And they aired...
That's so perfect!
They aired that thing 10 times. I mean, it got some serious airtime. Yeah.
Could we find
I'm sure.
Online?
I'm sure we could.
If we put in if we Google Stephanie Sherman.
I think it was last year. It was last year or 2 years ago.
It was
the mole. Yeah, it was
perfect.
It was definitely recent.
And that's what won you your first Emmy or
didn't quite submit that one for the Emmy nominations, but I should have, man. Yeah.
Man, I really love Stephanie's stories.
She's awesome.
She's probably the friendliest person I've ever met.
Yeah.
So warm, so friendly, she's so funny. Friendly.
She brought a watermelon to our housewarming party.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
So up next, we have pretty much like you would assume just from hearing these train wreck stories or these horror stories that he's just a walking train wreck. Because there's just all sorts of shit that was fucked up with things he was involved in. But, boy, they're pretty funny stories.
I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I like it when things go wrong.
We have Ben Kasu.
This is a good one.
And he's an editor that you could listen to again and revisit episode 26.
Oh.
Yeah. You can listen to that one.
Yeah.
And he just has really great stories of just things going wrong on set that like he was directing or that he was location scouting, just stuff that was happening on set. That's the type of stories that you're about to hear.
This, he gets into it.
Yeah.
Like with the government.
Yeah. I got sweaty during that part of the story.
Yeah. I felt like we might get in trouble.
It was like that show 24, but really custom tailored to Ben specifically.
Yeah. And it actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
I think 24 was fiction.
Yeah, it was actually based on Ben Kazoo. Ben is Jack Bauer.
Oh, nice. I can see that.
Yeah. They didn't want to go with that. They wanted to go with something less Jewish sounding, so they went with Jack Bauer.
Is Ben Kazoo a Jewish sounding name?
I guess not.
I don't know.
Is it? Well, he's French. Maybe it's French.
French.
He speaks French. Maybe his name isn't French, but he speaks French.
Are French and Jewish similar?
There's French Jews.
Okay.
Cool. So here is Ben Kasu's horror stories. Enjoy it.
Should have talked to him prior to the show.
I'm going
to
go on record and say I've never been part of a fuck up personally.
Smart. Very smart.
Good start.
You know this guy.
A friend of a friend.
His name's Brendan, I think.
Brendan Masu.
You know, when you ask the question, there's like a flood of bad things that happened.
Yeah. I could tell. Your eyes widened.
Yeah, nothing ever catastrophic. I don't think I've ever been part of
like a firing? Have you ever witnessed a firing?
Oh, I've been fired.
Do tell.
No, I think you mean your friend, what was his name? Brian?
Brendan. Somebody got fired. I've been fired more than once, yeah. It happens. You know, either whether it's a disagreement or whether you actually fuck up. So to be specific, I was working on a film called... And yeah, I mean, the production coordinator and I were not getting along. And the minute she had a reason to fire me, I was off that film set.
So, no.
I mean, it was probably for the best.
That's too bad.
Yeah. No, it happened, so.
I'm sure you got over it. Yeah. You bounce back off your feet pretty good, Ben.
Boy, that segment kind of fell flat, didn't it?
Yeah, I was hoping for something juicier, but Ben got really sentimental.
Last week with the camera in the pool.
Yeah.
Trying to think of something really juicy for you guys.
You can make something up.
No, I mean,
no one's going to fact check here.
No one's going to fact check me. but I don't know.
Well, I think you mentioned one earlier. I mean, the fact that you were in the hills and watching a movie about.
Yeah, I was debating whether or not to cut you off and just start playing the intro music there, but you seem like you were on a roll.
I'm trying to think. There was this whole thing with Jim Carrey. No, this one producer was from Fox at Jim Carrey's house, and we were cutting a new trailer for something like that. I don't know what movie.
Okay.
And we needed to get this new trailer because the exec was at the house with Jim Carrey, and it was apparently getting very awkward. So he gets this like, you know, you need to get this trailer here, and they were still making changes at it, and you know, the boss is like in the machine room, like rooting for the digi beta to like finish. Yeah, you know, come on, and give a couple DVDs with it, and then he like turns around and he looks at the runner, and I remember because from my runner days, I had left a note. Written, drive fast, take chances, leave no traces. And I had that like as like a poster board for the runners. And, you know, he's like, that sign, you listen to that sign, you go through the red lights, I will pay for the tickets. You just, and so this little runner, like, who's like, you know, 19, is like freaking out. And he, you know, storms out. And I'm like, you know, like, drive normally. You'll be fine. Don't worry about it. He's like, should I really go through all the red lights? I'm like, no, don't go through all the red lights. Don't do that. Drive safely and, you know, drive carefully. And that's that. But, yeah, that was a scary moment, you know, where all of a sudden, like, everything goes wrong. I mean, I've seen some execs throw things, you know, at people, you know.
Oh, boy.
So, I mean, that's kind of scary. I was in... Okay, here. It'll kick up. I got some more stories.
Okay, good.
I was on this film... it was a music video for Outkast. And this was one of my first bigger music videos that I was working on. And I was on set PA or something. And the first AD looks at me. It's like, I need you to go do something for me. And he wanted me to go drop off his director reel to an agent,
all right.
Which is a personal.
Yeah.
And I...
That's not going to help the music video.
And the producer on it, or one of the coordinators, starts, you know, being like, where are you going? I'm like, I have a run to do for... well, you're supposed to be on set. Blah, 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 first told me to go do this. Oh, but you can't. I'm like, but I was told to. He's like, hang on a second. And then next thing you know, on the middle of the film set, Outkast was like, Outkast not too far away. Mm-hmm. There is just a screaming match between this little woman and this little dude who's the first AD. And they were just like, here are my balls. Here's my vagina. Let's fight. And it was just like, everyone was just like, stand back. And I wasn't too far away, like holding the thing. And last thing I know was like, just go. Just leave the set. They're talking to me now. I'm like, and she's like, don't go. And I'm like, what do I do? Who do I listen to? And then I kind of just like step aside and they cooled it. I don't know. I can't remember exactly how it got cool. I think maybe some other producer came on and been like, what is this about? And then eventually she came up to me and said, okay, you can go drop it off. And Jesus. I was like, what is this? And then I looked. That's when I realized, what am I dropping off of so important? And that it was like, oh, it's this guy's director's reel. I was like, that's so Hollywood.
God, that reminds me of I did this internship at a talent agency when I was in high school still. It was like some class that we had. And there was like an assistant to one of the like managers, and the manager was upset at her for taking a lunch break. Mm-hmm. And there's just this whole like the boss is gone and every other assistant is in there. Some of the other managers are in there talking about how much bullshit it is that she can't take a lunch break. Mm-hmm. And then they all look at me and they're like, what about you? Don't you think it's bullshit that she doesn't get a lunch break? Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, I guess. I'm just a fucking intern. Like, I'm here for 3 hours a day. Like,
have her lunch. Let them eat lunch.
Yeah, let her have her, you know, bologna sandwiches, whatever.
God, that just made me think of Samantha. This was when the stakes were very, very low. I was a film student still.
Okay.
And I was making a short film, And I brought everybody out, all my cast, which was about 12 people, out to the forest. And we were shooting out in the forest. And we were shooting on Super 16, so it was pretty cool, and I was excited. And we start filming a little bit, and I was looking for a location, because I'd done a location scout before. I was looking for this one place to go to, and I said, hey, guys, why don't you just wait right here? I'll be right back. And
like every scary movie.
6 hours later.
Oh, my God.
Blown my whole day, all of daylight. I had gotten lost in the woods.
Jesus Christ.
Now, I heard that the cast had the best day hanging out in the woods. Apparently, two of the females were just like half naked all day, just hanging out on set.
Of course they were.
Prancing around all these actresses.
That 10 minutes after you left, I'm sure.
I mean,
No one's like, hey, is he coming back? They're just like, let's get naked.
No, well, so this was, we had phones. We had phones, so.
No service. Yeah, but it's like,
no service.
You can't be like, yeah, just go to the tree that looks like the letter R.
Yeah. So I got lost so hard. I found a road once I got out of the forest and then had to find my way back to the car. And by then it was the end of the day. It was terrible.
Oh, man, that sucks.
That was a tough day. And still in film school, and now this is probably the scariest thing that's ever happened to me film related.
Okay.
I was in Andover, Massachusetts, where they have the IRS building.
I like where this is going.
We were on a location scout, and we were scouting sand dunes on the coast of Massachusetts. And my friend takes me out. He says, I know this area. I need to premise this. I didn't have a car nor a driver's license at the time.
Okay.
So I borrowed this girl's car who I didn't know very well, who was a friend, who was a roommate with my friend.
Okay.
Oh, no.
So I borrow this girl's car.
Does she know that you're borrowing it?
I'm borrowing his car knowingly. I say, please, I'm doing this location scout. I need to use a car. I was like, okay, cool.
Okay.
So she lends out this car. My two friends and I, we go out. We're filming everything. We're having a good time. And we get lost. We get lost in Andover, and we bust a U-ey in front of the IRS building. No problem. We drive. We finally get to the beach to where we were going, you know, take some pictures. And we were smoking a joint.
Uh-oh.
And all of a sudden, my friend gets a phone call on his phone, and he passes me the phone. He says, it's for you.
What?
I say, what do you mean it's for me? He says, just talk to them. I'm like, talking to the door. Like, hello, who's this? And he's like, this is the FBI, this is the IRS gov, blah, blah, blah.
What?
Where are you right now? I'm like, are we speaking to Benjamin Kasu? I'm like, yes, this is me. And what had happened, I mean, I don't know how long we can make this, but basically what happened is that we filmed in front of the IRS where there was some cameras that caught us. And this was, you know, 6 months after 9/11.
Wow. Oh, shit.
Exactly. And so they think that they might have some terrorists who are trying to scope out the IRS building because they saw these kids filming in a camera, bust a U-ey, screech tires, and leave. And, you know, I'm like, no, I'm on a location scout. So I speak to all these people on the phone for 45 minutes who interrogate the shit out of me. I'm like, I am a Boston University student. I'm on a location scout. I'm with my friend in the car. We got lost. That's it. There's nothing else to this story. They're like, well, you need to come and get debriefed. So a couple days later, we go to the IRS building in Boston, which turns out was definitely not an IRS building. It was some like unmarked office in this random building. And we got interrogated separately, both for an hour. They asked to see the footage. They asked me everything about, you know.
Did you show it to them, or you're like, over my dead body? I need a warrant for that, sir.
All you want to do is cooperate in this situation. Are you a terrorist? No. Have you ever looked up how to do a bomb? Have you ever been part of any? I mean, like, that's the kind of questions. It's
maybe
like,
once.
Yeah, no.
They're supposed to answer back, does the Constitution mean anything to you, sir?
Yeah. Oh, man.
So that was a pretty intense little situation there. Now, to the situation could have been a lot worse is that the fact that I was driving illegally was huge.
But did they even mention
that? Wait, how did they know it was you?
I was waiting for that one.
Someone,
yeah. so this is what I'm trying to figure out. This is what had to happen. So the cops in, or the whoever, the IRS contacted the FBI, who then tracked down the license plate,
right.
Who called the owner who lives in New York, who then told them that their daughter was driving the car. And they're like, no, there was a man in the vehicle, and they gave her the daughter's number. The daughter gives the friend number. Then the friend who's in the car gets the phone call, hands me the phone.
What now, a trail. Now, how long was it from the time you busted the Huey until you got the phone call?
That's a good question. It's been a long time. Maybe an hour and a half max.
That's impressive.
That is.
It was not a long time. There was we actually joked around. We were like, they probably spent a lot of money doing that. We were like, whoops. Taxpayers' money hard at work.
That's why you don't get lost. You always print out a map quest, Ben.
What's funny is that...
In 2001.
A few months ago... I got lost.
Jesus Christ, Ben. This is the third fucking lost story.
I was in Andover, and I ended up in front of the IRS building.
Again?
I was no filming. We were there.
Should they call you up and like, Ben, long time, no talk. What up, how are you, friend?
Wow. It was for another business. But what I did do is stop and take pictures to send to my other friends and be like, guess where I am?
And no phone call.
And they were just like, leave now. Just go.
Man.
What Jesus are you doing, Christ. Ben?
Tempting fate. That's what he's doing.
I mean, it was just funny that I ended up... Because I told my friend who I was on some business there. And we were talking about going to see where it was because we hadn't been there yet. And we just happened to drive in front of it. And I was like, oh my God, this is where it all happened.
I'm surprised you got here today.
How many more lost stories do you have that end horribly like that?
If you keep on going, we could be here all night, probably.
Okay, I guess that's a nice transition into our next
game. That ended up to be a wonderful segment, by the way.
Yeah, that, you know, I thought it fell a little flat. Yeah, you got another one?
No, I'm good.
At first, I was like, of all the people, I thought Ben was going to have the best one. It started a little slow, but then we built up. We ramped up real nicely, Ben.
Wow.
I still check my, you know, my mirrors every time I get in my car because I think the FBI might be after me.
Yeah, because we're on a list just from having Ben on this podcast. You're probably on a list from just listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
People at home.
Yeah, you guys.
Or in the cars.
Right, wherever you are.
Yeah, or at work.
The gym or...
Yeah, you could literally be anywhere. You could be in at the park. You
could be on an airplane, look around.
You're probably not in space, though.
Ah, oh, that'd be cool, though.
Yeah, or you could be in the Sahara.
Oh, yeah.
Got that listener that listens to us while taking pictures of lions.
Yeah, so lions are also being pursued by the FBI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's
Cecil.
It's too bad.
Cecil was an inside job.
Yeah.
We got too close.
Wow.
Well, we should read that email next time.
Yeah, it's a good email.
It really is. It warmed our hearts.
It did.
But less talk. More rock. Let's get on to the creme de la creme of our horror stories.
Okay. This is the main act.
Yeah, this is episode from episode 46, Vivian Lee.
Wow.
Well, who's a writer?
She's a writer that I work with.
And this is a story back from when she wasn't a writer, back when she was trying to be a writer.
Yeah, she was a script coordinator,
mm-hmm.
I believe.
And
on a show.
This is like the story, the ultimate nightmare where you get cold sweats. You wake up in cold sweats and you're like, holy fuck, I need to kill myself.
Yeah.
Just bury your head in the sands. Like some sort of.
It applies in life too. Mechanism. This is like a good story just for life in general.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that she's still in the business, like I'm shocked.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
Because that's like a career ruining move that she did.
Yeah.
So without further ado, listen to, I think, the best horror story that we've ever had on this podcast, Vivian Lee.
You mean I don't have to say my name?
You don't have to say your name. Correct.
No one will know that this is my story.
No one will know.
That Vivian Lee said this, spreading this horrific thing that she did.
You don't have to give names of other people or shows or anything like that. But do you have...
But it is one of the shows that I talked about. Only worked on
you didn't have to say that. You could have. You were totally fine.
If you guys want to rewind and replay all the shows I worked for, it's one of those shows.
Well, that makes sense.
Oh, we'll get double the listens on this podcast.
Yeah.
So you don't have, like
is
I
there
said,
a theme
you
or should I just go ahead and get launched
no,
into it?
No, the theme played already.
Oh, the theme?
Yeah,
it's, and you heard it.
I'm sorry. It was, oh, it was great.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
All right. So should I just go?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm a script coordinator. And as I said before, there are days, usually it's pretty good. It depends on what show you work for. But on this particular show, you know, I usually got out at 6:37, you know, a pretty decent time. For about 2-3 weeks, I wasn't getting off till like 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, because I was waiting on a script. And it was one particular person who was notorious for not starting to write scripts until like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock at night, which always just bugged the crap out of me. I mean, writers is your own process or whatever, but there was always a part of me that always resented that, because on the flip side, there's production who's like, you guys have a meeting tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Is this script going to be ready?
Right.
And I have to lie and be like, yep, it's coming out. It's right. coming out. And I don't even know. So at this point, let's say it's a Wednesday. I was told, oh, Viv, you're going to have to stay late. And, you know, okay, when? Well, you know, I'm trying to put out a script. Okay. And both Monday and Tuesday, you know, the writer comes out and was like, yeah, didn't get to it. Sorry. And I was just like, oh, so angry. I don't have a lot of friends. So when I do make plans, I don't.
Really?
But when I do make plans, I try to keep them. I do my best. You know, I'm a big flake too. But at that point, I was like, okay, Wednesday, I have dinner plans at 8. I did a safe. I'm going to do 8. I haven't seen this friend forever. Do it 8.
Yeah.
So come Wednesday around 5 o'clock, this writer comes up to me and goes, you know, it's going to be late again. You know, I think I'm going to need you to stay late. And I went, okay. And she left. And I was so angry, because I'm like, went back to her office to not do anything. Like, I just, I knew it. And the night before, the only reason why I stayed late was she didn't want to be the only one in the office. And again, the night before, she called me again at 1 o'clock. In the 1 o'clock, I'm at my desk asleep. She calls me to ask me how to spell. She calls me and goes, hey, Vivian, you're still here? I'm like, yep. She goes, how do you spell Miley Cyrus? And I was like, you motherfucker. You woke me up. It's 1:30 in the morning. I'm asleep on my keyboard. You have a computer. Like, we all know what Google is. Just Google it. But I'm like, all right, let me look it up. And I'm like, and I told her, and I was just like, motherfucker, if she does this to me on Wednesday, if she has me stay for no reason, I'm pissed off.
Yeah.
So 5 o'clock comes around, I'm going to have you stay. I'm like, motherfucker. Well, when do you think the script will come out? Oh, I mean, think probably within the hour. Great. 6 o'clock, great. I'm still going to do dinner. Fantastic. And again, I'm usually really good about, like, if something has to happen for work, work comes first for me. But at this point, I already knew this game she was playing, so I was already like, this is not going to happen.
Yeah.
So by 8 o'clock, go to her office, like, what's going on? She's just, you know, she's like, nope. She was like, oh, I'm still writing. I'm sorry. I'm like, that's fine. And I go back to my office, and I sat there, and I'm like, well, I need to text my friend and tell her I can't come to dinner. So in my head, I'm still thinking of the writer. Her name, it's a her. Her name's in my head because I'm just angry. I just see her name. It just keeps flashing in my head. So as I'm texting my friend, instead of texting my friend's name to the two part, I text in the writer's name. I put her name in the two part because her name is just, again, echoing in my mind. And in the body of the text, I'm like, hey, I can't come to dinner. That motherfucking cunt. It's a bad word. I'm just going to say it's a bad word. I never say that word, but I was so pissed. And it was like 1 o'clock. I was so tired. I was so tired from the nights before. And I'm like, that motherfucking cunt has me, is keeping me in the office again. I'm sorry. We'll do dinner next time. I push send. The minute I push send, this writer comes walking into my office. And her cell phone dings in front of me. And I looked at her, and it was very slow mo, because I was like, oh Lord, there's no way I pushed send. And her cell phone ding. I couldn't have. There's no way. Then she looks down at her cell phone and goes, Vivian, you just sent me a text. And every moment of my life flashed before me, and I was like, that's it. That's it. This is my last day at this job. And I went, mm-hmm. And she looks down at her cell phone, and she reads it, and she's mouthing it. Like, she goes, oh. And I'm watching her, and I don't know what to do. And she looks at me, and she pauses, and she looks at me and goes, that message wasn't for me, was it? Went, nope. And I looked at her, and then I started, and I should have just owned it right there, but I didn't. I started backpedaling. I started doing this. Oh, it was just a joke, you know, because, you know, we're that type of friends, and I was just calling, and I was just joking. It was a joke. It was a joke. And she went, mm-hmm, and then she just turned around and laughed, and I... started laughing. I laughed. I put my head down and I started laughing. Like, I wanted to cry, but I started laughing because I thought to myself, this is a great story if this wasn't happening to me. This is fantastic. But it happened to me. And I was mortified. And I ran to the production office and I told one of the PAs there what I did. And she started laughing. And I go, that's it. It was nice knowing you guys. Like, literally, if I got fired at that moment, I would have been like, yep. Absolutely. That was the absolute right thing to do. I'm a bitch. I am sorry. That was unprofessional. Absolutely. Here you go. Here's money back. In fact, here's my paycheck back. Next morning I came in and I'm like, it's the writer. Of course she's going to tell everyone. She's going to tell the showrunner what I said, which was, again, completely offensive. I was tired and I'm going to say this, but she was acting that way. But that being said, I shouldn't have put it in a text message. Nothing. No one said anything to me that whole day. No one said anything to me, and that's it. Nothing happened.
Really?
Nothing.
Do you think she told anyone?
Oh, I'm sure she did. I absolutely agree that she did.
Yeah.
But the showrunner never came up to me, and I was to the point where I was like, "Well, I gotta get ahead of this." So I started telling people. I'm like, "This is what I did." Like, I literally was like, I'm an asshole. This is what I did. And I told her the assistants. I'm like, don't be like me. Don't be like me. This is my last day.
Learn
from my mistakes, guys. It was nice meeting you. Nothing ever happened. But to this day, it's one of the, like, I guess, you know, everybody has a get out of jail for free pass. And I feel like this was, because she was a high level and she had every right to have me canned. Right. But I hope that it was that 80% of my delightful personality.
Yeah.
That kept me around.
So, all right, so what do we take away from this?
Don't.
What have we learned?
Don't send texts.
Don't send
at work.
Just take a moment. Just take a moment, put the cell phone down, take a walk, come back. Don't text. Don't write the word cunt in a text. If I had written, can't come to dinner, sorry, have to stay late, it would have been fine. But I had to add in some sort of flavor, some sort of, this is my state of mind. Don't do that.
Of course. Yeah.
But there you go. So I'm sorry. Whoever that writer is, you know who you are. I'm sorry. I saw you after that years later. I couldn't look you in the eye. I still won't be able to, but I'm sorry.
Do you feel better for telling the story and apologizing?
No, I don't.
Excellent.
Yes.
I still feel bad because I don't.
It's one of the best horror stories we've had.
It's so awesome.
I don't
awesome,
say the
C so
word. I don't even say it, but I felt free to text it.
Yeah.
Not even just the C word, the motherfucking part of it before, because the C word wasn't enough. Just really just, get hurt. Just be like, That's my horror story.
That's a great story.
I love
Thank
that story.
You. Thank you very much.
Gosh.
Wow.
Well, I just, I don't even know.
That's really just the cream of the crop horror story.
What to say?
It doesn't get worse than that.
No. Which means it also doesn't get better than that.
Also true.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really prolific.
It's deep.
Proud of you.
Thanks. I did something.
So that's our Happy New Year clip show special.
That's it. We're done for the year.
Yeah. That's
finally, we take like 3 days off.
Yeah, 2015 was a motherfucker of a year, right?
Yeah, I guess.
We had some of our best guests.
Yep, some of our worst.
Some of our worst.
Yep.
And, you know, 2016 will probably hold more guests.
Yeah.
Bad and good.
I think we should do a clip show where we just play the worst guests that we've ever had. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll make us some friends.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. Like the people that we begged to come on the show and then mercilessly make fun of afterwards.
Yeah. It's going to be amazing.
You know, my friend Danny Newman was pretty bad. We should probably do that guy.
Cool.
Okay, cool. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed these horror stories. I know we had fun listening to them when they originally aired.
Yeah, we did.
I guess just like have a happy new year and... you know, next week we go back to original programming.
Yeah, we do.
We have the AP of Family Guy, Charles Song.
He's hilarious.
He actually, I was expecting him to be like a really boring person, and he ended up being like one of the funnier people that we've had on the podcast.
He was awesome.
Yeah, I really enjoyed him on the show.
Family Guy is a big deal.
Yeah, and he's been on there for like 9 or 10 years or something.
I think 100 years.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, that's.
He did 100 seasons of South Park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was on South Park and Family Guy.
And then I think he was the star of Frasier for a season.
Oh, he was Frasier?
Yeah, played Frasier.
I thought he looked familiar.
None of that happened.
Yeah, I was like, so Charles, he's like, please call me Kelsey. Yeah. No, for sure.
You're like, why?
Like, isn't that the girl's name?
it was an awkward. Well, you'll hear it.
Yeah, it's a fun time. Yeah. Anyways, have a happy new year and listen to the outro.
And that's a wrap. Didn't get your fill at Craft Services and you want more? Check out earlycalltime.com for more podcasts and information pertaining to the ever-growing entertainment industry. And remember to tell your friends about us via Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.